Well, today is one of those special days. We have them fairly often, and today is Thanksgiving. And I could have given a bit of an update earlier about what's going on with Haley and all that, but I thought I'd do it now as part of my Thanksgiving celebration. First of all, to let you know that no, I have not had knee surgery. That happens October 30th. It hasn't been rescheduled again. We'll hope it stays there. But when they phone up and tell you that they're rescheduling your knee surgery because your orthopedic surgeon has too many trauma patients, I think that's about as good an excuse to postpone my surgery as they come up with. If they need him that much, they shall have him. And I've been praying for these anonymous people off and on, hoping that they get all the good things that they need from a really excellent orthopedic surgeon. But what's far more interesting to me, and I suspect possibly even to you, just because it's a little more new, is that Haley had her final procedure on Friday, and it was, as far as we can tell, a complete success. She went to sleep with both kidneys and woke up with both kidneys, which was our acceptable minimum for the whole process, so we are extremely happy to, I'm extremely happy to report that, and I am very grateful. And so, with the sermon title, Thankful for What?, you sort of wonder what's going on. Of course, we know what we're thankful for. Why are you even bringing this up? Well, it comes out of our epistle lesson, out of Philippians. And I've talked about this passage before in similar kinds of ways. But when I look at this passage, in the context of Thanksgiving, I wonder, if we would have asked Paul what he was thankful for, what would he say? Now, if we think of Paul when Paul was still Saul, before he had the Damascus Road experience, I suspect he would be thankful for those things that we saw in the first part of the reading. Because what Paul, when he was Saul, talks about, he says that he was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, so he was an ethnic as well as a religious Jew. He was born in, purebred, all that kind of thing, if that matters. The tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law of Pharisee, now Pharisees get a bad rap now because we've turned their name into basically a pejorative term, but back then a Pharisee was just someone who had dedicated their lives to following Scripture to the utmost of their ability. As for zeal, he persecuted the church. We'll just leave that one alone. I don't know if he'd be thankful for it before or not, but he might have been. As for legalistic righteousness, he was faultless. Think about that for a second. Paul was unlikely to be given to this kind of hyperbole, because this is the kind of thing that anybody could have checked up on. He was faultless as regards the Old Testament law. Now, we had the Old Testament law read for us, the Ten Commandments, part of it, of course, this morning. And if in case you're wondering why we jumped around, it's because the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 have got a lot of extra stuff in there that we didn't really need, so we just got the Ten. Well, besides those Ten Commandments, there's another 600 or so that you need to pay attention to if you want to say you're faultless. And Paul said he was. He kept them all, which is just an extraordinary thing. So if you would have asked him before he got knocked off his horse on his way to Damascus, he could very well have listed all of those things off as things he was thankful for. That he'd been born in the right place, that he'd been trained by the right person. He was a student of Gamaliel. A Jewish scholar of the Old Testament that's still quoted today in Hebrew studies. Paul was his star student. Imagine. After, though, by the time Paul writes this to the church at Philippi, he finishes his list and then says, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ." He looks at these things that he could be thankful for and probably was, and he says, "I'm not thankful for them. They're just nothing." He goes on to say later that they're just trash. They're rubbish compared to the greatness of following Jesus. And I think of that and I think, how is that possible? And then I think of myself. And as a younger person, if you would have asked me what I was thankful for up until about 24, 25 years old, I probably would have given you a list of, yeah, my family. Yeah. You got to say that one. But then I would have gone on to the things, the stuff I had. I had lots of things. I had books. I had clothes. I had a car that turned people's heads when I drove by. 1975 Thunderbird. It's kind of like driving a short bus. Pretty hard to miss it. So I'm not surprised people looked at it.
By the time I was driving, he was about 10 years old, a little bit more than 10 years old, and I suspect people were looking at it going, why are you doing that? But still, they looked at me, and that was good enough for me. I was thankful for all of those things, I'm sure. Thankful for the stuff of life, the things of life, the easily measurable things of life, much like Paul. Because it's easy to look at them and say, look at my things. This is what I have, and I'm thankful for them. Well, I wasn't knocked off my horse, bucked off horses, and fell off horses, so probably a good thing that I wasn't on a horse on my way anywhere important. But in December of 1986, we had a fire in our house. And as part of that time, that crisis, it was an opportunity for me to look carefully at what I thought was important. I was raised in the faith. I knew many important things in my head about God and what God was like. But I didn't have any sort of functional relationship in a way that, certainly not in the way that I do now. And I came to the conclusion that my stuff might be getting in the way of the possibility of a relationship with God. So I left the house with my little brother and our dog and a coat. And that was it. It's December 21st. So if you go outside, basically in Edmonton, if you go outside without a coat on December 21st, you've probably got some kind of a death wish. So, but that's all I took. I didn't take everything else with me. I didn't even try. And that was the beginning of a process that ended up with me having a much better understanding of the things that really matter. I'm still grateful for the things I have. I'm thankful this weekend and every day that we have a house. And sure, it's old and the foundation's crumbling and all that kind of stuff. It's not the greatest house in the world, but it's ours. Or, well, the bank and us, we share it, but you know. I have a roof over my head. I have reasonably healthy children, which is really close to home, of course, now that I have a daughter who is, we think now, going to start moving on the road to full health and a full recovery, and then can get on with a life much like the rest of us. I'm grateful for things now that are less measurable. I'm not so much grateful for stuff anymore. I like it. It's useful. If I don't have a car, I'm not sure how I'd get here on Sunday. And I may as well have a car that is reasonably comfortable and that gets reasonably good gas mileage and those sorts of things. I'm happy with our car. But what am I most thankful for? I'm thankful for you. How much I appreciate this congregation is closer to the surface, as this Sunday was the final Sunday service for Knox Presbyterian in Briarcrest. The former, about to be former, second part of this two-point charge, and for all the time I've been coming here, I've been going there. We've shared a lot, good and bad. We've had funerals, weddings, baptism, moments of great delight and moments of sorrow. And we've shared them together. I treasure those things, all of them, even the ones that I wouldn't have chosen, because we went through those together. We went through a pandemic. And we didn't fall apart as a congregation. We moved into a new way to worship together, a new way to be together, and we came out on the other side, and we were still here. What a great, great gift. I'm so thankful for that. And yes, I'm thankful for the building. A building is always a good thing if we need one. But if we don't have a building, we can still meet, and if it's even a possibility, who knows what the future holds. Because you matter more than the building. When I think of church, I don't think of this building, I think of you. Whether this is the first time I've seen you or you've been here often, you're part of this congregation, you're part of this community of faith, and I'm grateful for us, the us that we are together. I don't despise my upbringing because I had lots of good things in my upbringing. I was born into a family that did expose me to the things of faith, even if I didn't really pay attention and tried to run away from them almost as hard as Jonah. I'm grateful for that. I'm much more grateful for my family than just the yeah, yeah, yeah that I might have been when I was 23 or 24. I'm grateful for my health, whether it's good or not. I'm grateful for all of these things. So when we ask the question, thankful for what? What do we turn to? Because the things we turn to, not necessarily the first thing that comes to mind, but when we actually think about it, those are the things that really matter to us. Family, connections, relationships. Those are the things that we come back to. And yes, there are things thrown in there because we're corporeal, material beings. We need things like food and shelter. And we're grateful for those things too, and that's a good thing, particularly as we look at them as the gifts from God that they are. But are we thankful just for things or for the people that bring the things meaning? I'm a sentimental person, not quite absurdly so as I once was, but I tend to hold on to things that people give me, not because of the thing itself, but because of the person. It's like the things that your kids or your grandkids give you that go by the general term of art. They go on your fridge or you take them to your office. They're not great art by anybody's standards, very often. But they mean a lot because they represent the person and help me remember the person. And that's why I think many people, particularly with kids growing up or with grandkids growing up, you look at the stuff on their fridge or wherever they keep these things, and yeah, there's a bunch, and some of them are current, but some of them are really old. Well, why? Because we remember what it was like to have a 2-year-old in the house. Bit of a challenge, but what a delight as well. And so we treasure those things, but we treasure more the reality of the relationship we have. And that's what Paul is calling us to. Saying that if we have to, if we're looking at the stuff of life compared to what it means to be in a relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and all that comes with that, a community of faith that goes beyond these walls to the entire world, compared to that, the stuff of life isn't as important. And some of it might even be rubbish compared to this, depending on where you come from. I had a lot of rubbish I had to get rid of. And I'm grateful for its absence. Because we're not just thankful for the things we have, but we're also thankful for the things we don't have. Anyone in recovery is thankful for the lack of an active addiction. Anyone who's achieved victory over a bad habit, we're grateful that we don't have that anymore. For people who have come from a place of oppression to here, they're grateful for what they don't have. We were talking after the service, Knox, about what's going on in Israel and what continues to go on in Ukraine. And it never crosses my mind, except at times like this, to be grateful for the fact that I never, ever worry about getting shot. I never, ever worry about a bomb landing on my city. I'm grateful for those absences. And I wish we all the people in the world, had the same opportunities. But today I'm thankful for the people in my life, for this congregation as a body, for each of you that makes it up, for my family, for those people who went before me, who left behind a path that I could walk in. Isaac Newton said that anything he had done, he'd done because he was standing on the shoulders of giants. This is Isaac Newton. He was a big cheese when it comes to math and such things. And he said he owed it to those who went before. Well, so do I. And on this Thanksgiving weekend, there are so many things that I am grateful for, and I hope for you also. I hope that you're in a position where you can take some time today or tomorrow, whenever it might be, to just momentarily rehearse some of those things. And some of them will be important only to you, and that's great. Some of them will be those big things like safety and shelter. But I'm almost certain that a lot of them will be people. And we celebrate people today. We remember how grateful we are for all those who have taught us in the past, who have brought us to the place we are now. We're grateful for them as gifts from a God who loved us before we could love God back, before we even knew God existed, before we existed, God loved us. And so we're thankful for that too. May this, your Thanksgiving weekend, be filled with gratitude and joy, and maybe even quite a bit of eating as well. Amen.